Today's sermon text is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Turn with me, if you would, to that book of the Bible. In this month of October, we're looking at 2 Timothy in some detail, and we're working our way through it. This is 2 Timothy, starting in verse 14 of chapter 3, and continuing through chapter 4, verse 5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise this day for this word, and we ask that you would speak to us through your Spirit. Help us to reflect well on this passage together, and use the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts to bring glory and honor to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I have a great deal of respect for runners. Shane Mudd just perked up. I'm talking about him and people like him. You know, Shane runs cross country. Sorry to pick on you so early here. Shane runs cross country for Bullet Creek. When I was in college, my college roommate of 3 years was on the cross-country team at Taylor University, and he was always out running. I couldn't believe how much this guy ran. I really admired him for all that he did, but I admired him from afar. Let him do his thing. He never bothered to invite me to go running with him because it wouldn't have done much good. But recently, I was invited to participate, it hasn't happened yet, so, you know, pray for me in the meantime, to participate as a backup runner in case I'm needed to be called upon to run in a benefit 5K run. Anybody ever run a 5K before? Yeah, it's not, it's kind of a long way, you know. 3.1 miles, more or less, that's a good distance to drive, not so much a distance to run. So I've been kind of training up to this. But I have ways to go, and those of you who have done it know it kind of takes the wind out of you. I'm nowhere near being ready to run the whole thing, but we're getting there. So it's kind of an interesting time. I am learning a new respect for running, for people who do this competitively or for just for exercise purposes, the lung capacity that you need and the endurance and all this stuff. It's really something else. I read an article this week about a man named Mark Covert. He may not be familiar to you. He's a 62-year-old community college teacher in California. And once upon a time, when he was in college, he ran cross-country. And in 1970, in fact, when he was in school, he was the NCAA Division II national champion. He ran a 4-minute, 9-second mile, which, if you think about it, is pretty fast, right? That's like 15 miles an hour for 4 minutes. Again, not so bad to drive, but if I had to do it myself, I don't think I'd be able to. While he was in school, Mark Covert, while he was in college, he started a really unfathomably tremendous streak. He ran every day. Day in and day out, he would get his shoes on and run at least a mile, if not two or three or, you know, ten, however many he would be up to running. He ran every day, starting June 23rd, 1968. Okay, now just to put this in perspective, if you were not yet alive in 1968, raise your hand. Okay, there are several of us. Yeah, you too. You raise your hand too. I know you weren't. Not Dorothy and Janet, sorry, but the two behind you. I'm pointing to Jesse and her brother, James. I'm just pointing to the ones that I know for sure were not alive in 19... Not, never mind. Oh, brother, I'm getting in trouble now. Several of us, of course, were not even alive. This guy started running June 23rd, 1968. We had not yet put a person on the moon yet. 1968. Vietnam was an important place, you know, in world politics. It still is, but it was very hot then. He ran day in and day out for 45 years. Until this June 23rd, 2013, 45 years later, he ran again, at least a mile that day, but then the next day he had to stop, and this was an article about him and his reason to stop the streak. He had a right foot injury that he just couldn't keep running anymore. But he said, as he had reflected on the time that he had run through illnesses and injuries, he had a torn meniscus at one point, knee cartilage. He ran over 151,000 miles in the past 45 years. As he was reflecting on this, he said, "I've always said that it's not something I have to do, but it's something I get to do," meaning running. That's really inspiring to me as a fledgling runner. What if we were to think of the Christian life not as something that we have to do, but rather as something that we get to do? On the mornings that I decide to run, and I do it in the mornings, I have to fight against the urge to stay in bed. You know, you have to get up a little early and you do the thing. And so many mornings, it's just, there's that voice that says, today doesn't really matter that much. You could just skip it today. It's not that big of a deal, right? What's true in our physical bodies is true in our spiritual lives as well. Following Christ is not something that we have to do, but it is something that we get to do, and it's something that our own desires and our own internal voices battle with us about. Now, I'm not talking about some of the more tangible things like coming to church, where you all are here, so you fought against that voice well today. I'm not talking about doing daily devotions or regular times of prayer or spiritual disciplines like fasting or praying or the other kinds of disciplines that we can do, although those are part of it. Those are part of the things that we get to do and the things that our internal voices try to keep us from doing. I don't see those things appearing in this passage from 2 Timothy 3 and 4. But rather, as we're looking at what Paul is saying to Timothy as he's passing the baton on to the next generation of church leadership, what I see in Timothy's charge here is that Paul is reminding Timothy of his opportunity to fulfill his role in the kingdom of God. It's not so much about the details of what he does, but rather what it is in broad strokes that he is doing. Timothy is fulfilling his role in God's kingdom. That's what Timothy gets to do. That's what Timothy's internal voices are going to be clawing against. Playing a role in God's kingdom. The charge that Paul gives to Timothy in this passage is given to him in the presence of God and in the presence of Christ Jesus. It's very high language. It's very important language because it speaks of Jesus in a very particular way. Jesus Christ, the one who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing and in view of his kingdom, These three components of who Jesus is point to Jesus not in the present tense, but in the future. The one who will judge the living and the dead. The one who is going to appear again. And the one whose kingdom will last forever. This is the one in front of whom Paul gives his charge to Timothy. There's a word that describes the way that we're thinking here, and that word is eschatology. It's the study of end things, the study of final things. In the view of that God, now you are to do your work. Now you are to fulfill your ministry, Paul says to Timothy. Because the time will come when people will pursue their own desires, when they will find teachers who will say what they want to hear, what their itching ears want to hear. The time will come. You see, it's in the future. It has to do with the study of final things. But there's a component of eschatology that we must hold on to. Anytime we think about end times or things that are down the road, every time we have that conversation, eschatology is not complete unless it impacts us today. We don't think about the end of the age or when Christ returns without thinking about what we do today. It's combined. It's part and parcel. There is future, but there is also present. So when we think of Jesus as the one who will judge the living and the dead, and the one who will return, and the one who will reign over his kingdom, hang on for a second, because Jesus is judging the living and the dead. Jesus is returning, and he is reigning over his kingdom even now. The kingdom has been breaking into the world ever since Jesus broke into the world. And he said, the message that he came to proclaim, the content of his preaching was, this is the kingdom of God. Repent and believe the good news. Pay attention, because the kingdom is near. The kingdom is at hand. It's not something that we have to wait for. It's something that happens even now. So when Paul says to Timothy, the time will come when people will follow their own desires and will look for teachers to surround them to say what their itching ears want to hear, it sounds like he's talking about something down the road. But really, he's talking about today. He's talking about Timothy's today. He's talking about our today. The time has come. And it has been coming ever since Paul wrote these words. In fact, it has been coming ever since there have been people, that they have pursued their own desires and looked for teachers. How many teachers are there today that will tell us what our itching ears want to hear? Keep your head in the game. Keep your head in every situation, Paul says to Timothy. Endure all things. Fulfill God's call on your life until the very end. It's important for us to remember that Paul is giving this command to Timothy, or this charge to Timothy, but Timothy is not operating in a vacuum. His ministry is not taking place all to himself. He is not the only one doing this. His faith is based on Scripture, which Timothy did not write. It came to him from generations before. And his faith in Christ Jesus was passed on to him from people who had run the race before him. Perhaps his mother and grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Remember them from earlier in the book? And others. Timothy received the faith as it was passed on to him. And in Timothy's world, which is much different from our world today, the message that was transmitted to him was only as trustworthy as the people transmitting it. The message was as trustworthy as the messenger. He could trust the people who passed the faith on to him. Therefore, he can trust the message of the kingdom of God. And Paul says to Timothy, you've known this stuff, you've known the scriptures, you've known Christ from infancy, from the time that you were an infant. And I would like to posit today that we can identify, each of us can identify with Timothy right there. Knowing Christ from infancy. Now I know that there are some among us, many among us perhaps, who have not been raised in the church. You did not come to church from the time that you were in the womb. Perhaps you came to Christ later in life as an adult or as a teenager or something. I know that's the truth. I'm not talking about physical infancy here. You have known the scriptures, you have known Christ since your spiritual infancy. All of us have received it from someone before us. All of us have been given the message of Christ from those who have run the race before us. And all of us have needed to receive, as infants do, as spiritual infants do, we need to receive the message of the good news of the kingdom of God from those who have accepted it before. Somebody in our lives has passed on the faith to us. What's the punchline? For Timothy, since he had known the scriptures from his infancy and had been raised in the faith, the punchline was, now you have been equipped for every good work in the kingdom. Same punchline for us. We have known the faith since our spiritual infancy, whether that aligns with our physical infancy or not, so that we can be equipped for every good work. It doesn't end with us, this Christian life. It moves through us to those around us. A theme that I see coming up over and over again in this letter, 2 Timothy, is something that I really hope you take to heart. Each of us is useful for God's kingdom. Each of us has a role to play in the kingdom of God. When we accept salvation in Jesus Christ, when we come to faith in Him and believe in His death and resurrection and accept His forgiveness for our sins, we are brought into God's church. We are made full members of God's church. So each of us matters. And each of us has a role to play. Not everybody is a Timothy or a Paul. Not everybody is called to preach the word or to lead the church. Because if there are so many cooks, then there's nobody to... How does the saying go? Too many cooks, too many chiefs, not enough... I don't know. You know the saying. Thank you. Yeah. Not all of us can be Paul. Not all of us can be Timothy. Not all of us can be leaders in the church. But each of us has a ministry to accomplish in the church. Each of us has a role to play in this particular congregation. If you belong here, if you are a member here, if you are in Christ here, if this is your home church, then you have a role to play. The question is, what is that role? If you don't know right offhand, then it's something to investigate. It's something for us to have conversations about to see where you can plug in. But my conviction is that any ministry in the church is related to one of two things. Can you guess what those things are? Anything that we do in the church is to be connected to one of two major movements that the church is called to participate in. Discipleship and outreach. Anything that we do in the church is to be connected. Any ministry that we participate in, anything that we help others with, is to be connected to either growing closer to God, discipleship, becoming more like Christ, taking on His character, becoming more like Him, and loving Him. Or reaching out to those around us in the love of Christ. Ministering to their needs in one way or another. Spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever those needs might be. To accomplish any work in the kingdom of God, we need to be aware of the role that we play in the church. And to accomplish any work in God's kingdom, we have to learn how to rein in our itching ears. What wonderful language Paul uses here. All of us have them. I have itching ears that would like to hear certain things. To rein those in and keep my head in the game. So too it is with each of us. Because our world is full of distractions. Our world is full of false teachings. The time has come when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but they will instead listen to what they want to hear. They will suit their own desires. But here is the truth, folks. We are not here to suit our own desires. We're not here to suit our own desires. We are here to learn how to make Christ's desires our own. If we can accomplish that, then serving God becomes natural. If Christ's desires can become our own, and we do not serve our own desires, then serving in ministry in any form becomes incredibly natural. Doing the work of discipleship, doing the work of outreach, becomes second nature. No, rather first nature to us. In this charge to Timothy, we we can kind of disconnect from it because it sounds like one pastor talking to another. Preach the word. Lead the church. Do the work of an evangelist. You know, discharge all the duties of your ministry. It sounds very, you know, churchy. But don't disconnect from it, because it means something to each of us. I believe this is true because in this passage I see that the details of Timothy's ministry, the things that he does, are less important than the attitude he should adopt. It comes from Paul's words to him. It's less about the stuff that he does, but rather about how he does it. Be prepared. Encourage people. Have patience. Stick to the truth. Be persistent. Endure everything. Complete your mission. Fulfill your ministry. These are words that speak to all of us, regardless of where we fit into the picture of God's kingdom, instantiated here at Mount Haley Church of God. As Shane read for us a few moments ago from Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow. It's one of the few parables that Jesus tells where the text tells us what the parable was about, what the meaning of it was. Normally we have to kind of figure it out on our own. But it says, Jesus told this parable to remind the people to always keep praying and never give up. Always keep praying and never give up. This could be part of your ministry as a member of the kingdom of God. Always keep praying and never give up, because that's part of Jesus' character. He never gave up. He was persistent and saw his mission all the way through to the cross. Always pray. Never give up. Those are strong words for us today. When Christ is formed in us, when we take on his character, then doing God's work in the world becomes natural. There's a note in your bulletin today. We have a special event coming up this Saturday. A service project. We talked about this at the men's breakfast yesterday. This is open to anybody, men or women alike, boys, girls, anybody who has strength in the body. There's a neighbor lady who lives down the road from us, just on the other side of the township hall. She looked us up on Facebook, in fact. She found our Facebook page and sent us a message that way. And she said, I have land, I have trees, and I have a wood-burning stove for the winter, but I don't have the wood cut. And is there any way, she's on very limited income, is there any way that the church might be able to help me cut wood? And I said, well, we'll round up the forces and see what we can do. I don't know much about cutting wood. We talked about this yesterday. We've got to find out, you know, how big and if it's green and all this. I don't care. We'll get it done. We'll help her out one way or the other. Because that's what we do. Because the character of Christ is forming in us so much so that serving others in need becomes part of who we are. It becomes something that we do as a response to need when we see it. We serve others out of love and compassion. Mark your calendars for this Saturday. We'll start at 9 o'clock here around the fellowship hall and then caravan down to her place. And I'll be in communication with her. We'll see if we can figure out better between now and then what exactly she needs, but we'll get there. We'll do that this Saturday. If I were to summarize this passage from 2 Timothy and say, it's just simply this. Remember those who have passed on the faith to you, and then do everything you can to serve God now. When Mark Covert ended his streak of running every day, day in and day out, at least a mile every day for 45 years, he said, it's obviously been a lot of fun. And I still enjoy it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it or kept with it. I'll keep running after the streak ends. I really like putting on my shoes and getting out there, even if I'm hobbling for 3 miles. It's just part of what I do. Your challenge, no matter where you are in the spiritual life, no matter where you are in the path of spiritual growth, your challenge is this: to grow in the character of Christ within you until you can say, I am growing as a disciple, and I am reaching out in love to those around me because it's just part of what I do. Don't be distracted by your itching ears, but experience salvation. Have faith in Christ. Know the scriptures. Be equipped for every good work. Take on the character of Christ and work hard at the ministry that God calls me to do. Amen. O Lord our God, we give you thanks this day for calling us into your kingdom and for giving us a new identity through Christ. We thank you, Lord, for making us so much part of your kingdom that you give us ministries to fulfill. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to those roles of service and of leadership in the days that lie ahead. Help us each to take up the reign of responsibility for the gift that has been given to us so that we might communicate that gift to those around us. Strengthen us for the days that lie ahead and equip us for every good work. We pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.